Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the full year results 2019 conference call. I am Moira, the conference call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to the management team of LM Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for being here with us for our annual conference call. Today, the situation is pretty unusual, I would say, since we are strictly following the rules imposed by the governments, such as Italy and Switzerland in particular, that are imposing a stay-at-home policy. We are all of us remotely connected from different locations. Marco, our CEO, is from Milan. Sergio, our CFO, is from Rome, while I'm from my house in the mountains. We will try to be effective in running the call anyway. We apologize for whether there would be some possible delay in the response to your questions, but we'll try to do this very, very effectively. We will go through the presentation that we have published this morning in the investor relations section of our corporate website. We'll have then a very short update on the full year 2019 results. We will give you some numbers on the first two months of the years, and then we will comment about the coronavirus outbreak and the actions that we are putting in place to counterbalance the negative impact deriving from such extraordinary event. Then we will dedicate appropriate time to Q&A. Now let me leave the stage to Marco from Milan, that will introduce our full year 2019 key facts. Please, Marco, go ahead.
Welcome, everyone. Niccolò, unfortunately, today I'm in Chiasso, not in Milan, so my house in Chiasso, but doesn't change a lot. It's sunny here as well as in Milan. Let's start with 2019. I'm referring to page five of the document that you received. It's about 2019. For us, 2019 has been an exceptional year with extraordinary results that demonstrate how the work done in this year has been, let's say, correct. Strengthened by this evidence, I think that the current situation is only temporary, that we will return to this type of performance quite soon. Unfortunately, in the past weeks, we have seen a significant drop in our performance, but we will discuss later. Coming back to 2019, our top-line revenue growth more or less more than 20% versus last year, mainly driven by the OTA that have done an exceptional year in flights and in dynamic package. We continuous efficiencies our operation and effectively control our cost base, driving profitability and EBITDA margin. We register a record business EBITDA at 71+ million, with 23 million net income and 110 million cash at year-end. Now, Sergio Signoretti, our CFO, could give you more details about 2019 numbers, and then we come back to the actual situation. Please, Sergio, go on.
Thank you. Thank you, Marco. Good morning, all. I'm going to page six of the presentation. I will be brief in the comment of the 2019 figures, which you know already have been published already in press release one month ago, did not change. Actually, revenues, as Marco was saying, +20% versus 2018 at 338 million euro, driven from the OTA, which is the pink box, driven again from the tremendous growth of the flight and dynamic packages business. In terms of meta business, the meta business has suffered a bit in terms of competition from Google Flights and in terms of decrease of the organic traffic. This has driven down the 13% the revenues. As you see on the right, in terms of EBITDA, it has been substantially steady. We have registered also a tremendous growth for the media business. Media business has grown 22%, up to 24 million euro revenues, of which 70% is given back to the OTA. As a result of the continuous obvious efficiencies that Marco was anticipating in our variable and fixed cost structure, we have been able to keep our overall cost base stable versus 2018, and therefore substantially stable, and therefore we are not only growing in terms of revenues, but growing in terms of profitability. So for the second year in a row, we have registered a plus 64% versus the previous year, so at 71 million euro versus 43.
It's like slide six
should be. So on, I'm commenting the right part of the slide six. So where you see clearly that the OTA is driving the performance, with 60 million euro EBITDA generated out of the 71. So for the second year in a row, we are at a plus 60% versus the year before. We have tripled the EBITDA in 2 years. If you go to slide seven show you the bridge between the business EBITDA, the IFRS EBITDA, and the net result. I would comment here just a couple of things. So in the venture initiatives, the minus 2 million euro refer to the negative EBITDA of Destination Italia, which has anyway improved from the previous years, which was at minus 2.8. I would give just a comment on the extraordinary items, which have been approximately 2.3 million euro higher versus 2018. And this is due to some costs that we have incurred in order to put forward some corporate development activities related to the potential expansion in the market that we can comment afterwards. Having said that, the IFRS EBITDA has doubled versus 2018 at 55 million euro versus 27, and the net income has tripled at 24 million euro versus 8 million euro registered in 2018. Then let me go to the cash position as of the year end, which is represented at page 8. So we have generated in 2019 49 million euro free cash flow from operation, which is driven from the EBITDA. Here the EBITDA, the reported EBITDA is indicated net of the IFRS 16 effect and of the growth of the working capital. So net of the 16 million euro investments, CAPEX, we are talking about approximately 50 million euro of free cash flow from operations. And therefore, the cash position as of the end of 2019 was 110 million euro versus 73 million euro registered as of the beginning of 2019, as of the end of 2018. Net of the financial liabilities, which are 49 million euro and which includes approximately 13 million euro of the IFRS 16 effect, the net financial position is 65 million euro, which is more than double versus what we were having as of the end of 2018. So strong year, record year in terms of revenues, profitability and cash generation. Now, this record growth has continued if we go on, and I'm now starting the current trading section of the presentation, so I am at page 10. So this record growth has continued up to the last week, I would say, of February this year. This is the picture representing the preliminary unaudited, of course, year-to-date 2020 figures as of the end of February, where we are growing versus 2019 19% in terms of revenues. As you see, the OTA is still was still growing at a plus 24 percent, 51 million euro versus 41. and as well the media revenues were increasing. Meta was suffering basically as of 2019 for the decrease of the organic traffic. But in terms of EBITDA, as you see on the right, we are, as of the end of February, at a plus 16% versus February 2019. So at 12.5 million euro versus approximately 11, again, driven from the OTA results. This means that if you go to page 11, in terms of net income, we as of the end of February, we are approximately at 6 million euro, taking into account all the elements that need to be considered in the cascade that we are showing. So 6 million versus 3.4. So prior to having the impact in the last week of February of the coronavirus that now Marco will comment, we were at 74% plus the February of the best year ever in the last minute history. So I think we can now go to what is happening and what is the impact of coronavirus. Marco, if you want to go ahead.
Yes, first I want to do a brief introduction just to remember to everyone, everybody knows, but it's important that everything is happening very fast. So you see our performance so far, and this situation started in January, and then after a couple of months, 2 months and a half, Italy entered in quarantine. So in the last 3 months, we have seen one of the most serious history in, let's say, in our modern time, and is happening very, very fast. So this is why we need to consider all the facts with attention. And the facts where I want to start with is what happened in China. Now in China, the situation is going back to normality. This is a study from a Chinese university. Basically, it is explain that the duration of the crisis in China has been for three, four months. So we can expect that what is happening in Europe, if all the different measures took by the government all around Europe and now all around the world, also in the US, will contain the situation in this time frame. So what happened to our business? So basically, in the last 3 weeks, we saw a significant drop in our performance, as you can see. This week one is the beginning of the year. Week 11 is the second week of March. This is obviously unaudited data. But as you see, week 7 and week 8, also our growth was not so strong like in the beginning of the year. It was an anticipation of what is happening. So the real stuff happened in, let's say, in the last 3 weeks. So based on this performance and based on the Chinese, let's say, crisis management style, we think that this could be the curve of our, let's say, booking and our performance going on. We think that this is by booking date, not booking departure. So it means that basically we expect that people will start again to book holidays and vacation in May, June, to arrive to a normal level in July and August. Why we are optimistic about the bounce in July and August, because we think that at the end we will be the digital, as a pure digital player, we will be in a better position than a traditional retailer, because the majority of the people will move all the bookings through online bookings, because basically they are at home. And so they will become, like every crisis, the penetration of, let's say, internet and digital experience will increase. And also due to the fact that our structure, that our organization is most flexible, and we will be better than the other to react to the different need that we have for our customer. I remember to everyone that we source automatically the destination in the world, because we access to all the possible bed banks in the world, and we don't need to have contract in place in order to offer vacation to our customer, but the system is completely automatized. So this is our view. What we have done in any case to counter effect the impact. So on the top line, based on our structure, all the variable costs that represent the main portion of our cost structure automatically adapt to the condition of the business. Basically, all our activities on top line in terms of cost are on performance marketing, Meta, and basically Google AdWords plus some social. So we adapt and we are scouting opportunity on the market. For example, last week, flight bounced back. We have a very good week because there was a lot of people that was looking for flight to go back home. So rescue flight or really last minute flight. So we have a very strong week, but we don't expect that will be the case also for this week. But in any case, our performance marketing operation that is managed by algorithm automatically adapt to volume changes. Let's say on the fixed part, so OPEX, CAPEX, and HR cost, now what we have done, all our offices work in fully remote since 3 weeks. We still don't have a lot of problem working remotely because we embrace remote work in the last 2 years. So far, also last year, 2 weeks a day, people fully remote, work fully remote from home. So for us, it's not been a big change. We put on all the events, business travel, meeting, training, and conference. All recruitment is on hold. Salary increase has been deferred. The managed bonus payment of 2019 that should be paid in 2020 has been in 2020 has been postponed. And all the marketing non-performance investment not committed has been stopped. On the other side, what we are doing other review action for further saving on OPEX and CAPEX, and we are optimistic we can do something more. And then we put in place a corporate social safety net, benefiting of the different action that the various governments are preparing all around Europe. Particularly Switzerland, where we have our headquarters and we have the majority of our population. I could say half of our workforce is in Switzerland. The Swiss government put in place a strong system, very flexible, very fast, and time reduction and in place starting March 23, the 23 of, let's say, of March. And that basically cover up to 80% of the cost of the HR in a very flexible way. France office, we are in negotiation. And again, in France, they will cover up to 80% as well. And we think we could start in April, and we are under negotiation in Spain, Germany, and Italy, where they have similar system. So on this front, I think we are quite optimistic that we could reduce our cost. Another mechanism that help a lot is the voucher refund mechanism. So instead of giving back cash to customer, in some country, Italy and France, we can offer vouchers, and we expect a decision by the European Union to put in place this mechanism all around Europe. This could be a great relief for all the travel industry, including the airline, and not just for us. So at the end of February, our cash position is 130 million. So we think we are more than sufficient cash to sustain our business in such circumstances. So we are quite optimistic. Also, we are working to prepare for, let's say, bad period. But I think we have all the possibility in terms of competencies, in terms of structure, in terms of finances to survive this situation. What we are focusing in terms of strategy so far, we are readdressing our priorities. This is for us, it's a good opportunity because we try to transform this problem in a big opportunity, because for the first time in the last 3 years, we have time to dedicate ourselves not to optimize our revenue for tomorrow, but to rethink the way that we are doing our business. Particularly, we are doing strong investment in terms of development on customer experience, because we are facing an extraordinary event. We are managing every day three times the normal customer request that we have. So we are trying to automatize any possible activity, as this will be of great benefit in the further year, because we could scale our business, we will become more efficient, and that is a big opportunity. But also, we are also working on our system, do some activities on our platform, particularly on platforming and I see hosting, moving, trying to move all our operation fully on the cloud. And that, again, was something very difficult to do when the business grew 20-30% a year, because every time that you have to move your platform, you could expect some downturn that we don't want. But now we have the opportunity to test, we have the opportunity to move and to be faster. And that, again, will be of great benefit when the business will rebound, because we can scale faster. On the other side, we are rock solid in terms of finances. We have a business model that is very diversified. I remember to everyone that we are not only a transactional business, but media and meta business are basically media business. We sell leads or advertising. We are fully digital, 100% agile, and we can benefit from the tailwind from offline to online. I foresee a big shift from, let's say, offline to online. I remember to everyone that 50% of the European market for travel and leisure is still offline. Where I think the next 2 years, like any crisis, there will be a big shift, at least because we can assume that not all the traditional operator in the travel industry will be there at the end of the crisis, because they will need much more time to adapt to the new situation. Due to the fact that we are inventory free, so basically we don't have allotment, we don't have inventory, we don't need to have contract to sell a destination, but we can automatically scouting where the customer wants. So if the people at the end don't decide to go to Spain, but they want to go, I don't know, in South America, we can immediately adjust our system without taking a lot of time to move our contractual, because we are totally online. So this is why we think we are optimistic about the future, and we expect to become stronger, to become one of the core players at the end of this crisis. So that's all. So for our presentation, I think then we are ready for any questions you may have. I don't know, Nicolo, how we want to proceed.
The first question is from Jean-Marc Müller from JMS Invest. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions, and all the best in this quite difficult time for you, I guess. I have two questions. And the one is that you were talking about kind of scenario analysis that you did in the press release. Can you give us a little bit of an idea, or maybe, you know, like the range of potential outcomes that those scenario analysis has given you? Just I think it would be helpful to have a little bit of an idea, you know, where EBITDA might end up in a worst case, or what you consider worst case scenario and best case scenario. And my second question is, you haven't touched on the potential M&A, you know, all the rumors about Triton potentially being a bidder for part of the business. I mean, there were these articles about this material adverse change clauses triggered. I mean, that would imply that a deal basically was already in the books. Can you just elaborate a little bit on that situation, where we stand there, what a deal structure might have been or might still be, etc.? So just a little highlight there, please. Thank you.
Well, about the scenario, we gave an idea of what we think will happen, but I think it's quite not professional in this moment, where the situation is so, let's say, changing every day, to give a scenario and to give a guidance in terms of EBITDA and net income. It's too early. We can't do that.
Okay.
And the second part, obviously, we have done a lot of work in last year, but at the moment we are focusing on business. So basically, We spend 24 hours of our time focusing on business. So every discussion about M&A, finance, and whatever, everything that is not related to the core business now, it's not a priority for all the management of the company.
Okay, understood.
The next question is from Hubert Janot from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. Just had one on working capital. Can you guide us a little bit through throughout the year how that kind of changes and if there's particular moment where they might be maybe further stress around that. Thank you.
Yes, I think Sergio could answer to this question.
So, of course, there will be an absorption of working capital due to the reduction of the business, but we are fully funded, as we explained during the presentation. So, with the €113 million cash and with the sufficient credit lines, we are absolutely in the position of facing the absorption. So we will manage it without, I would say, particular issues.
Great, thank you, sir. There was an issue with the line. Thank you.
The next question is from Roberto Travella from Tra Partners. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Actually, my question has been already addressed. Maybe a further deepening. Can you elaborate, or did you elaborate, a worst case scenario? Should the pandemic last for many more months than expected? Are you planning something very abrupt to manage the company?
But as I explained, for us, managing a worst-case scenario is, I think, it's not very useful because at the end, as I told you, on the top line, we adjust. On the core of the company, we are already managing and exploited all the incentives that the various governments are putting in place for, HR cost. I remember to everyone, if you look, the major five European countries, a part of UK, now they put in place measure in order to help the company up to 80% of the salary for the next 12 months. So I think in that situation, I think we are safe. We don't think at the moment that we need to be so drastic. We want to have people that work and to use this kind of opportunity, but we are prepared to that. The other cost is, under control. So the only issue could be unfortunately, the only cost that we can't quickly remove is the office. But obviously, we are working on renegotiating on this kind of part. So I think we have all the financial strength to survive also in a dramatic scenario that we are not thinking that will happen, but we are quite, confident.
Marco, if I can add, if you hear me, just bear in mind that just considering the cost of our organization in Switzerland, we are talking about approximately €30 million per year, of which 80% can be paid back by the state in a crisis situation. So I think this gives you an idea of the measures that we are putting in place and of the flexibility that we have in order to recover such a situation.
So maybe we can give also the number that so far we have budgeted for next year in terms of saving.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we have already identified and put in place a €15 million program cost reduction from 2020.
1.5.
So that's already in place. 1.5, 15 million. Okay, and this is of course the baseline, which is consistent with the scenario that you've seen, and that can be increased further whether the situation worsens.
The next question?
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
The next question is from Vanessa Müller from NZZ. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just an organizational question at the beginning, because maybe I'm too stupid, but I can't find the presentation.
Okay. Sorry. I don't know, Nicolò, what we can do.
So on the page, on the site where the press releases are, there are only the press releases and not the presentation.
I'm really sorry.
Nicolò, can you...
We will supply the presentation, Vanessa, for sure.
Perfect.
We will do it. And sorry, so you have to listen to this conversation record just to follow.
No, that's okay. Just to be sure, so at the moment, everybody at Chiasso is working remotely, so nobody is traveling across the borders.
No, I'm traveling, traveling across the border, but I can, because for urgent measures, so bored and whatever. So I'm traveling across the border, but all the companies, not only in Europe, but all the company, including India, now is fully remote.
Okay.
Obviously, we started fully remote in Chiasso 3 weeks ago, and then in Milan, obviously. Then we extended to Spain and France. Then last week we extended to UK 10 days before then the government took this decision. And 2 days ago, also in India, they decide to work in remote. But for us, it's not a big news because we have remote working in the company since 2 years. So we have 2 days of remote working for everyone that is allowed. So all the system has been prepared to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Baptiste de Lodeville from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have two questions, please. The first question is about the amount of the credit line that you have on top of the cash position. And the second question is about the further debt repayment. What is the amount of the next and when is the next repayment, significant debt repayments you have? Thank you.
Maybe Sergio.
Yes, I can understand. I can answer on that. We have a couple of million payments foreseen in June. For the medium to long-term financing that we have in place, which is overall 25 million euro included into the financial liabilities, then we have sufficient credit lines. I will not comment about the numbers. We have sufficient credit lines in order to fund the business on top of the 113 million euro cash that we have. So they are going to be sufficient even in the worst case scenario to fund the business on top of the actions of cost reduction that we have in place.
Thank you.
There are no further questions.
Very good. So I think I want to thank you, everyone. And we will inform you as the situation will evolve. I hope next time will be for, let's say, more positive news, like the one about 2019 results. For the one that didn't receive the presentation, we will try to arrange. So I think now we could close. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.